I'm going to be continuing today with the I Am Jesus series. Next week we celebrate Easter, and so it's a big holiday in the year for us as believers. It tends to be the largest Sunday that we have attendance because people think about Jesus more during the Easter season. I would encourage you, if anybody in your world that doesn't attend church but is thinking about Jesus and the resurrection, invite them to join us next Sunday. But today I'm going to be speaking about, we will continue with that series next week, but we want how many of you liked Jason's message last week?
Yes.
Heard a lot of good from Mr. Harris's preaching while I was gone. I'm glad to see you returned this week to continue with us. Today I'm going to tell you the story of Jesus and Lazarus. And I want to reflect on one of the major statements that Jesus made during this story. So what has happened is Jesus has just had a major engagement with the religious leaders of his time. And they want to kill him. They don't like him. And so he leaves Judea. He leaves the Roman province of Judea. He crosses the Jordan River out kind of by where John the Baptist had been baptizing people. And so he's on the other side of the river. He's outside of Judea. And back in Bethany in Judea, his friend Lazarus becomes sick. Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha, another famous story in the Bible that maybe you know. Lazarus becomes ill. And so the sisters send word to Jesus and say, the one who you love is sick. Lazarus is sick. And Jesus says, this sickness is not going to result in death. But it's happening so that God can be glorified and so that the Son of God can be glorified. So he tells his disciples, he waits about 2 days and then he says, let's go back into Judea. Let's cross over the Jordan and go back into the area of Jerusalem. And his disciples are like, are you crazy? That doesn't say that in the Bible, but that's what they're inferring. They're trying to kill you there. Are you sure you want to go there? Jesus says that there's 12 hours of daylight in a day, isn't there? If a man walks while it's light, he can see where he's going, and he doesn't stumble because of the light. But if he walks in the dark, he stumbles because the light's not in him. Then he tells them, Lazarus has fallen asleep. And they say, well, if he fell asleep, he's probably going to get better. That's what his disciples said. And he's like, listen, that's not what I mean. Lazarus is dead. Lazarus has died. And I'm glad that I wasn't there for your sake. What an interesting thing for Jesus to say. I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake. Now let's go to him. I must wake him up. Thomas, whom most of you would know as Doubting Thomas, he was one of the disciples, he said, let's go so we can die with him. That's what they expect. Death is on the horizon. The Jews are trying to kill us. They don't like Jesus. So Mary and Martha find out that Jesus is on his way, and Martha leaves Bethany, and she goes out to meet Jesus. Bethany's only about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And there's a lot of Jews in the area that have come out to grieve and to mourn with them at the loss of their brother. So Martha goes out to meet Jesus when he's on his way. And she gets to him and she says, if only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If only you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, I know he will rise again on the last day. At the resurrection. But she said, even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask. And then Jesus said these very famous words, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, he will live. And if he lives, he won't die. If he believes in me, do you believe this? He asked her the hard question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And she says, yes, I believe you are the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent from God, the Son of God, who was to come. Martha goes back and she's finds Mary in the house, and Mary's grieving with people, and she pulls her aside and she says, "The teacher is coming." And Mary hurries out towards Jesus, and the people that are with her think, oh, she's going to the tomb to continue to weep and to grieve. She actually goes to Jesus. He's on his way. Lazarus has been dead 4 days now. And she gets to Jesus and she says the same thing. "If only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus looks around. He's deeply troubled in his spirit. Isn't that interesting? He was deeply troubled. There's people around weeping. She's weeping. She's fallen at his feet and said this. "If only you had been here, my brother would be here." And he's deeply grieved, Jesus is. He's deeply troubled. And then he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "We'll show you." And then the shortest individual verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus cried. He cried. He's grieved in his spirit. He's troubled. And people look at him. They say, "Look at how much he loved Lazarus. He's weeping for him." And then others say, "Couldn't the man who opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he have stopped this from happening?" They get to the tomb and Jesus says, "Take away the stone." The tomb is a cave and it's got a big rock rolled in front of it. And Martha, being the ever logical one, says, "It's going to smell bad if we open that. He's been dead 4 days." The King James says, "He stinketh." Not a pretty picture, is it? It's kind of almost, if you really think about it, if you were in that moment, kind of a morbid scene. "Take away the stone." And Jesus says to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" Okay. So they take away the stone. And then Jesus, he looks up to heaven. He looks up and he prays. And he says, "Father, I'm grateful. I'm thankful that you hear me. You hear my prayer. And I'm saying this for the benefit of everybody standing around me. I know you always hear my prayer, but I'm saying this so that everyone around me can hear you or hear what I'm saying to you. I'm thankful that you hear my prayer. And I want them to believe that you sent me." And then he cries out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man comes out of the cave. I don't know if he had to crawl out because it was a small opening. I don't know if it's a great big opening. But Lazarus comes out. Now, in those days, he would have been wrapped all up in these cloths. He would even have a cloth over his face. Any claustrophobics in the room? Lazarus walks out. Can you imagine the scene? The dead guy came out of the tomb, wrapped in all his grave cloths. And then Jesus says this, "Unbind him." In other words, take those cloths off him. "Unbind him and let him go." And it's from this point, the Jews really are seeking to kill him now. They have a meeting right after this. And he's doing all this stuff and we're doing nothing and Rome's going to get mad. And they start scheming very intensely about how to kill him. And so from this point on, Jesus isn't going out in public anymore. He's being very subtle in what he does. "I am the resurrection and the life." Powerful statement by Jesus. I want to think about Mary and Martha and Lazarus and maybe what this meant to them. And maybe you can identify with some of the things they felt. Or maybe you're going to learn something new about the heart of Jesus today. In that he is the resurrection and he is the life. I want to start with Martha. We know in the story of Martha, Mary and Martha, there's another story where these two sisters are kind of having a little argument in the Bible. And Martha's kind of the worker, thinker type, get stuff done. Mary's the sit at the feet of Jesus and chill out type. And they have kind of these different personalities. And I found it interesting that when Martha comes to Jesus, she engages with him and they have a conversation about truth, about what is going on here. Boy, if you'd only been here, Lazarus would not have died. And Jesus engages her in a theological way. See, the Jews were looking forward to a resurrection. Resurrection isn't just an idea that began with Jesus. It's something that's foreshadowed in the Old Testament. There are several passages. Let's look at a couple of them. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of those, this is Daniel prophesying in the future. He says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Isaiah said in 26:19, your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light. Some foreshadowing of Jesus there. And the earth will give birth to the dead. The Jews were anticipating a resurrection. The thinking was that when the Messiah came, there would be a great resurrection of all the dead. And in fact, if Jews today that still stick to the original concepts of Judaism, they anticipate that when the Messiah returns, there will be a resurrection. And actually, we know that when the Messiah returns, there will be a resurrection too, don't we? Isn't that interesting? But the Jews knew this. In fact, it was a major issue in their society. Pharisees, Sadducees, we've talked about these two Jewish groups a little bit from time to time. This was a major contention point for them. The Sadducees didn't believe that people would rise from the dead with a new body. They didn't believe that, but the Pharisees did. The Pharisees were more of the common Jewish folk. The Sadducees were more the political rulers. And the Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead, and of course, Martha does. We see this. She believes that the dead will rise one day. And so her and Jesus are engaged in what I think is maybe a little bit of a short but intellectual conversation, something about theology, who God is, what's going to happen. We know that Jesus being the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, we know he's the resurrection in the sense that what we'll celebrate next week, that he secured resurrection for all of us. As the Messiah, as the Savior, he's the representative of the Jews, and he's representative of mankind. Didn't God say to Abraham, through you I will bless all nations? And so that he brings Jesus on the scene as a representative of the Jewish people, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, as it says on his cross. And he lays down his life on our behalf, and therefore you and I, once Jesus resurrects from the dead on Easter, which we'll celebrate, we also will resurrect from the dead. Some to eternal glory and some not. It's a powerful thing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Life comes from God. God is the bringer of life. You and I can't just make that happen, can we? God is the source of life. Whether it's actual life, your living breath in you, or even the life-giving, we use this term life-giving. When you're around someone that's healthy and speaks good things and encourages and strengthens you, we call that life-giving. But if someone is judgmental and condemning, mean-spirited, we don't say that brings life. It doesn't. It brings death. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I think it's interesting that he and Martha have this little exchange because Mary's experience with Jesus is totally different. There isn't a lot of conversation there. But maybe you're like Martha. I have to admit, I'm a little more like Martha than I am Mary. Because I tend to process everything in my head. I'm a thinker. How many thinkers do I have in here today? How many feelers do I have in here today? How many of you don't have either? In terms of personality, we all tend to process the challenges we face in life and approach life differently. And I tend to be like Martha. I get to him and go, if you had been here, my brother would have been saved. He'll be resurrected, Jesus says. Well, I know he will. I understand the theological argument. He'll rise someday with the resurrection. And so there's this engagement. Maybe there's something in your thinking that needs some life. in your thought process, what you believe. Mary needed to see something a little, or I'm sorry, Martha needed to see something a little more than she was seeing in the moment. But then we get to Mary, her sister, who comes to Jesus, and it says she falls at his feet. She says the same thing that Martha said. If you had only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And they weep. All the emotion is here with her. The grieving and the people around her are grieving, and that hits Jesus. Did you know Jesus had emotions? What does it mean if Jesus had emotions? Does that mean God has emotion? Can God look at your situation and grieve? I think it's very profound and comforting that my God could look at my life, stuff that I'm dealing with, stuff that you're dealing with or going through or have gone through, and have compassion on you. That is profound. And a lot of people have a hard time seeing God that way. Their emotional understanding of God is off. We need to learn something very important about Jesus and his character and nature here. He wept. Here comes Mary, falls at his feet. They don't engage in a conversation about the resurrection of the dead. Jesus just weeps with her. He grieves at the situation. I want to share a story with you out of Mark chapter 3 about Jesus and emotion. Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. This is Jesus. He goes into the synagogue. There's a man there who, I don't know if his hand's shriveled up or what's going on. It's a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether or not he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. Because they would say that doing a healing power would be to break the law on a Saturday. Because we're supposed to do no work on a Saturday. They're straining out on that and swallowing a camel here, aren't they? Throwing out the baby with the bathwater in their understanding. They want Jesus to heal this man on a Saturday so they can accuse him of wrongdoing. How backwards is that? And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. We can learn about the heart of God for his children, for you and I, in this passage. You know, you would be tempted to think that if Jesus is God and knows all things and sees all things, how could he possibly be affected by a minor human emotion? How could it impact him? Why would he care? He cares because he loves. He loves you. And when he sees these things, he sees their hardness of heart and he has an emotional response. He's angry with his children, going, "Come on, don't be so hard-hearted. I want to heal this man." And what does he say? "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Amazing. And the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Wait a minute, he just healed this man, and they want to destroy him. But my point in sharing this other story with you is Jesus looks at the circumstances, and he has feelings about them. He can look at your situation. Maybe you've lost a loved one and are grieving like Mary and Martha. Maybe something in life has crippled you, whether physically or emotionally or mentally. God has compassion for you. He is the resurrection and the life. He's the one who brings this new life into our lives where we need it. When our heart is broken for some reason, when we're off track for some reason, when we're struggling with depression or anxiety, when we have trouble in our bodies, he is the resurrection and the life. It's his character. It's his very nature. Things don't stay dead around Jesus. And if he is in your heart, he is bringing life to every part of your body. He is the resurrection and the life. And not just your body, but all of your being, in your thinking, in your emotions. Why? Because he has compassion on you. He loves you. It's amazing. This is why we should celebrate Easter next week. Amen. Come on. He loves us. So even if you're the thinker type, he'll engage with you at that level. And if you're the feeler type and you're struggling there, he engages with you at that level. God loves us. Wow, he loves us. It's amazing. I want to talk about Lazarus now. Mary and Martha, their hope is crushed. Boy, we're like best friends with Jesus, and if he'd have been around, our brother would still be alive. Their hope is lost. There's a death there, isn't there? Why don't you take a little inventory in your own soul right now and think about this. Is it alive? Are things good and in order? Is there some death in the corners of your soul? Some dark things that lay hidden? Things that you're frustrated with? Things you've just shoved away into a closet and don't deal with? Maybe you've lost hope in some way. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in your own relationship with God. How often we struggle, I'm never good enough for God. I'm never good enough for God. We struggle with these things. The dark places of hopelessness. I think Mary and Martha, they were in a dark place in this moment. But you know who's in the darkest place? Lazarus. He's dead. His body is literally beginning to decay. This is kind of weird. He's wrapped in these cloths. Maybe you feel dead inside. Maybe there's a part of your heart that's dead. Part of your spiritual life that's dead. We know, and we're going to celebrate this next week, and we're going to talk about this. This passage is ultimately about the resurrection of the dead and who Jesus is. But there are so many things connected to that. Like, Jesus can bring life to your life right now. Jesus can bring life to you right now, where you're at. He can come in and bring restoration and comfort and peace and direction and revelation. That's who he is. Maybe you feel dead somewhere inside. Lazarus was dead. He's beginning to decay. Forgive me for being kind of gross, but maybe something inside of you is starting to rot. Maybe somewhere in your mind it started to rot. That's where Lazarus was. And it's also so amazing to me that Jesus calls out to him. Lazarus isn't hollering out of that tomb. Let me out. Knock, knock, knock. That's not what's going on. Jesus is calling him out. Maybe Jesus is calling you out. Maybe the Holy Spirit is tugging on stuff in your life right now. Come out. Bring that out into the light. Let's talk about that. Or maybe you've never really surrendered your life to Jesus. And he's calling out to you saying, come on, come live and do life with me. Come out of that tomb, that dark and dead place. It's starting to stink. Let's get out of there and do life together. I am the resurrection and the life. That's what I do. That's who I am. That's what I bring. Not just so you can go to church on Sunday, but so that you can have a transformed life.
Yes.
And so Lazarus comes out, and man, and I just love these words. Unbind him. You feel bound? Feel dead, bound, struggling, stuck? Can't breathe because you're suffocating with these grave cloths on your face. That'd be what I'd be freaking out about if I were Lazarus. Be like, get this off of me. Maybe you feel like that. Get this off of me. I'm so tired of this. I'm so dead in this situation. Ah, man. Isn't it amazing? Even in salvation, we kind of think that Yeah, we ought to be careful here. I don't want to spiral into another conversation, but you know, we think we chose Jesus, but before you could even hear anything, he was calling out to you. Lazarus, come out. JR, come out. Rebecca, come out. Mr. Mallow, come out. Come out. Let's do life together. You're my friend. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. I want to do something a little different this morning. Could I invite the worship team to come back up here today? I'm normally not real short on words. I can talk a lot for all of you that have sat and listened all these years, but I want to respond to God this morning. I want to do something about it. I don't want to leave here today without some change. I want us to respond. I want you to respond. And what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to have these guys play some worship music in the background. I want to invite my elders, if you're available, elder couples, come on up here. Would you just line the front here? Uh-oh, what's JR doing today? I want you to respond. If God has nailed something in your heart, Jenny, where are you? Oh, you're right there. Yeah. Hey, if the whole room responds, we'll get more people up here praying. Don't just sit there and listen. Make a decision in your heart. I want to come out of the tomb. And I want to start with this. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've never made him Lord, if you've never really put him on the throne of your heart, I'm talking to you. And if you have things in your life, I'm not just talking about sin, although that's one of them. If you have sin that you're hiding and you want to just bring it before the Lord and be forgiven and healed of it and just leave it in your past, I'm talking to you. If you've been struggling in your mind and wrestling with who God is, and you have a hard time just sorting this all out, and you would just like some believers to pray with you, I'm talking to you. And if you're one struggling emotionally, weeping and grieving, it doesn't matter why. Whatever your reason is, it's your reason. It's something God's doing in you. I don't know what that is. But this is what I do know. He is the resurrection and the life. I wouldn't stand here if he hadn't brought life into my life. If he hadn't brought that resurrection to my soul, I wouldn't be here. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. I want you to respond today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start praying. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Don't miss the chance for God to minister in your life today. Come down here and let our leaders pray for you. Don't be shy. Just get out of that chair and come down here as I start to pray. Lord, I thank you this morning. God, I thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. That you are the one who speaks life into whatever situation we're in. You're the one who raises the dead. You're the one that opens the eyes of the blind. You're the one who saves the sinner and brings forgiveness. You're the one who heals. You're the one who restores. God, I pray wherever you're speaking into hearts right now, Lord, that you'd pull people from their chair to come and receive the love that you have for them. To come out of that tomb and receive. Lord, for life to be ministered today. Lord, as you minister to people, that there would be life where there wasn't, that things are dead and aching and hurting and grieving, that they would be comforted and restored. God, I pray for those grieving death of a loved one. God, that they would respond to your compassion this morning. Lord, I pray for those struggling in addiction and wanting to give up addiction, Lord, that they would come to you this morning and lay that at your feet and fall at your feet just like Mary did. Lord, I pray for those who can't forgive themselves for their past. If you can't forgive yourself for your past, I want you to come down here and receive some prayer from these leaders. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would find forgiveness for their history. God, I pray God, I pray for these leaders as they minister. God, that you'd be giving them revelation, that you'd be giving them words of prayer. God, I pray for the ones that have never given their life to you, have never really surrendered. God, we want to reach everybody with this good news. And God, I pray that you would bring that resurrection life into their hearts. Lord, I pray you'd be moving in power, healing now, comforting, strengthening. God, even for those who have not responded this morning, who are still out sitting down, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be moving in power, bringing light into the dark places of the hearts. Lord, I even pray for physical healing this morning. Lord, that those that are struggling physically would submit that to you. God, that you could bring healing into their bodies. You are the author of the human body, and you are the healer. The more you submit to God, the more life you're going to have. The more resurrection and revelation you're going to experience, leading to the ultimate resurrection. Your body won't stay in the grave. It will rise and face God. That is what's going to happen. Submit yourself to Him. The more you lay down yourself, and let Him be the boss. Let Him sit on the throne of your heart. The more life you will experience. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to wrap up here in just a moment. I don't do this every Sunday. This is rare for me, but I really felt like God is leading us in this today. Don't miss the opportunity. When I was about 18 years old, I sat right in the second row, right about where the donkeys are today. And there was a man preaching, and I was weeping in my chair because I knew God was calling me to respond, and I wouldn't do it, and I never did it. I sat there and bawled. My cousin tried to drag me out there. I wouldn't do it. I refused. I praise God, He has mercy. But don't miss the opportunity. I'm going to give you just another moment to come on down. You can stand in line. We'll be here all day if that's what it takes. We want to see God bring His life-giving power into people's lives. So the worship team is going to lead us in a song. Those of you who want to stick around and receive prayer, come on down. The rest of you are dismissed. We're going to let you go. I'll be hosting the Vision and Values class in just a few minutes back here in the corner. And we'll have lunch and I'll meet you there. But let's give these people some time to receive ministry.